517, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Luke Rosiak has been working on a series, and I believe we have part three, and it's all about the metro system here in this town and, well, some of the crazy things that go on. We talked about the hiring practices. We've talked about all kinds of things, and today it looks like we're going to be focused on the Metro Police Department, not quite D.C.'s finest. Is that what I read?
That's right, Andy. You know, there's about 600 officers that can patrol and make arrests in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, which is pretty unusual. You have these jurisdictional issues. And, of course, you also have these little rules on the Metro, like eating and drinking and all these things you know you're not supposed to do.
Right.
But it turns out basically no one ever gets in trouble for violating those minor rules.
Okay.
And as for the major things, there isn't too much typical major crime that these officers respond to just because it doesn't typically occur in the Metro. So, you know, we've been talking about Metro employees in general over the last week, and we see all these major problems with Metro employees, and the next natural question was, some of these people have guns.
Yeah.
Should we be concerned about them?
All right. Now, this is a force of how many? What did you say?
600.
600. And do all carry guns?
Pretty much all carry guns. Yeah, there's a unit that guards facilities that doesn't always have guns. Sometimes they carry them. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And it's those guards where you especially see problems, rampant criminal histories.
Uh-huh.
One guy was picked up for soliciting a prostitute in late 2009, and he got suspended for 3 days. But it seems to be people didn't even really bat an eye at that kind of thing. And I looked up all 600 in criminal records, and these names pop up again and again.
You looked up 600?
I looked them all up.
You looked up the background of 600 people.
I've got a computer program to do it for me.
Okay, good. And it kicks out the ones that have, let's just say, some indiscretions?
Right.
Okay. And what were some of the worst you saw?
A lot of, a bunch of, basically,
I mean,
it's drugs, theft, and assault. Those are the most common.
All right, but I mean, I'm assuming there's some felonies in there with a bunch of misdemeanors.
Yeah, mostly misdemeanors. I mean, a lot of them, they're thugs. I mean, they're
cops.
Yeah. And most of the time, you know, and like any police department, there are safeguards. I mean, you can't become a cop if you have, you know, a bunch of convictions and stuff. But these days, there's a lot of ways you can avoid having a conviction on your record. You can get it expunged afterwards. You can strike a deal with prosecutors.
Yeah.
You can do a bunch of stuff where you enter a diversion program, and you admit guilt, but you don't have it on your record. And that's the way that a lot of these people have been able to get onto the Metro Police Force.
Corruption a problem?
The big incident that happened, you know, just last month was a guy pled guilty to stealing about $500,000 from Metro.
How do you? Oh, you mean from fares?
Yeah. So you know, the fare cards, the machines where you buy your fare cards, they collect the revenue every day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, a Metro employee goes around collecting them, and that Metro employee is teamed up with a Metro cop, since they're handling a lot of money.
I got you.
Now, that Metro cop is to make sure no one steals the money, but in this case, the Metro cop was the one who stole the money. And he stole about $500,000, and the thing is,
unbelievable.
This was going on for years, and Metro never detected it. Now, you think about a machine, you put your credit card in, and it's got a digital readout that should know exactly how much money it collects at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that should be computerized, and it should be linked up to Metro headquarters. And, you know, any company is going to do this. Any major entity has been doing this for decades.
They're called documenter systems, and they're not that expensive.
Everyone has them. And so how did it take 2 years for them to notice that the amount in a fare machine was not the same that made its way? I mean, even a cashier at a supermarket has to check the register at the end of the day.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you got to reconcile the cash drawer at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, now, are these people represented by a union, or?
Yeah, they have a union. It's separate than the union that represents the Metro workers in general, but they are unionized.
I mean, it's got to be an embarrassment for the union if they represent law enforcement people, and you got a whole bunch of people here with all kinds of shady backgrounds, or else they just don't care. They're interested in the union dues.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some chaos in the union leadership and in the department leadership. The union took a vote of no confidence in their chief, Michael Taborn, about a year ago. Now, he's still at the helm of the department. Nothing came of that. But, you know, there's a lot of distrust and there's a lot of chaos in this department.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned in your story some counterterrorism stuff in this one unit that evidently works that kind of stuff. They even get some additional federal money, don't they?
Yeah. So these are basically rent-a-cops almost in as far as what they typically do on a day-to-day basis. But after September 11th, everyone was naturally concerned about security, and they wound up getting $3 million a year from Homeland Security. And with that, they bought machine guns, and they started doing bag screening. And so you have these guys that typically don't even make an arrest for months at a time, and suddenly they want to search everyone's bag, and they're carrying literally machine guns. It's not typical. They do an occasional display of force, but, you know, obviously there are civil rights issues, too, where they want to search it. They typically search about every 10th passenger's bag. And so you're just an innocent guy, and they demand that you you put your bag through this machine. Of course, you can. They typically only set up at one entrance, so you know, obviously you can just turn around. But if you were a terrorist, you could just go in the other entrance. So it's ineffective, but it's also certainly wildly intrusive.
Huh. On the job drug use problem?
Yeah, I mean, you had Metro Police employees giving Valium to others and taking it at the job. The person who gave the Valium was pushed out. The other one who basically begged her for Valium on the job day after day, she's still there.
You get a response from the Metro Police Department on this?
I haven't heard anything from the police. The reaction from Metro in general has been utter secrecy and silence, and it's been disappointing because that's one of the big problems here is in any big organization, you're going to have the occasional malfeasance at the lower levels, but what you hope to see is accountability from managers. And Metro's reaction about everything has been utter secrecy, and that's part of what's lent itself to a lack of accountability at Metro.
Huh. Anybody else picking up on this story?
Oh, it's been all over the media. Muriel Bowser is both a D.C. council member, and she's also on the Metro board, and she said that she was appalled by her findings. Even though Metro's workforce is about 97% black in a lot of the categories, you might assume that most of these are D.C. residents, but that's not correct. There are only about 14% of Metro employees are D.C. residents, so as a member of the D.C. Council, she's concerned about why so few D.C. residents are getting Metro jobs.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, it's fascinating. It's enlightening. It'll make you sick to some degree. I mean, some of the stuff that you've exposed over the past few days, great job. And, folks, if you haven't read it, check this out today, Metro Police, Not Quite D.C.'s Finest. It's by Luke Rosiak, and good job on all of this, Luke.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for stopping by the past few days.
Anytime.
Luke Rosiak, 525, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.